This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kyrie Irving, I think he is better than Isaiah Thomas. The Cavaliers finally completed the trade late last night. Adrian Wojnarowski was the first one to report it, of course, that they got the sweetener. They kept everything, including Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, the Euro Zizic, and they get the Brooklyn first-round pick unprotected, and they get a second-round pick in 2020 from the Boston Celtics. So that is,
and I think it's the Miami Heat second. I think it's a Heat pick.
Okay, the Miami originally the Miami Heat pick that's transferred over there. So I ask you, who won this trade for Kyrie Irving?
Well, I think it's easy. I mean, I think the Celtics won the trade.
It's
But as I said the day after the trade, and since the contents of the trade really didn't change all that much, they weren't altered drastically, I thought the Cavs had to make that move, and I thought it was a great haul. I do. I think Kobe Altman did a really good job. It's okay to lose a trade as long as it makes your team not necessarily better right away, but makes your team better over the long haul and, you know, still put your team in position to where they can do the things that they set out to do, which is obviously get to the NBA Finals. There was no trade out there that was going to make them better than Golden State. So get that out of your head. If anybody's thinking today, well, it's not a good trade because we're not as good as Golden State. No, it doesn't matter. There was no trade out there that was going to give you a better roster than one of the all-time best rosters in NBA history. That was just not ever going to be the case. But I still think it's not. You lost Kyrie Irving. No trade can be good if you lost Kyrie Irving and didn't get, you know, commensurate superstar back in return, especially when you're trying to compete for a championship.
Okay, I can understand that. 216-578-0092, because I think the Cavaliers won this trade. And I think the Cavaliers won this trade quite simply because of LeBron James. I think they won this trade because they placate him. I think they win this trade because they make it a little bit easier for him to stay. I think they make it a little bit easier for him to be talking himself into staying. I don't know if they're talking him into anything. But when you make this move, you give yourself that number one pick or possibly number one pick, a lottery pick, from the Brooklyn Nets, and you can do a whole bunch of things with that. You can draft a player that's going to be nice in this upcoming draft next year, or you could take that pick, make that player, move that player and pick, and do whatever you want with it to, again, help keep LeBron James. And the reason why I think that the Cavaliers are better or won this trade is because when you have LeBron and you are helping LeBron, you are helping yourself win. You are still going to be better than Boston. You're still going to be better than anybody in the East. So Kyrie gets what he wants. It might have been mutually beneficial, but I think the Cavaliers absolutely, in this sense, win this trade.
Well, you said placate LeBron. I'm not sure that's the case. Here's Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer. He says, multiple sources told me Gilbert, the owner of the Cavs, obviously, operating under the assumption that LeBron will opt out of his contract next summer and leave Cleveland. So Gilbert and Altman targeted Irving trade packages that set up franchise for the post-LeBron era. Again, Ken, if they brought in, if the centerpiece, and it is, the centerpiece of this trade was not Isaiah Thomas, it certainly wasn't Jay Crowder, who I like, it was obviously that unprotected Brooklyn pick. And if that's the centerpiece of this trade, then unless they're willing to move that pick this year to go all in this year, I'm not sure how that placates LeBron. I mean, it makes things tougher in the interim because, you know, the odds are, talent-wise, you're not even going to be where you were last year because you don't have Kyrie.
But then, would Dan Gilbert let LeBron go? Yeah, I know it's Dan.
I don't think it's up to Dan.
But would he not make an effort? Would he just not make an effort and let LeBron decide what he wants?
They don't even have lines of communication, so what do you mean?
Okay, so would the fine. Take it back. Would the Cavaliers allow just LeBron just to go without making a pitch?
I think they'll make a pitch.
Then that to me is the case where you have yourself this option where you have that first round pick from Brooklyn that you could either make that choice, which you probably will because he will opt out regardless, and then we'll figure out what he wants to do after that. But you have to use that pick as a possibility to keep LeBron. So this is going to be a very ugly thing that we've gone down this road already many times, that you have this player, if LeBron leaves, you know you have to kind of dangle him out there and rumors will get started, and rumors are going to get started regardless. So let's just keep it down to this. My entire goal after this season is keeping LeBron James. I've just made this decision to trade Kyrie Irving. Yes, for the right now, it doesn't make my team that much better. In fact, it might make it a little bit worse because I'm not getting a healthy Isaiah Thomas back just yet. Then when I move forward, Isaiah still isn't as good as what Kyrie is. Then I have to figure out how to keep LeBron. And that, to me, is the biggest point of it, because I still think that even though you're not as good as what you were, you'll still be better than Boston because you have LeBron, because you'll be able to mix it in. At that time, Isaiah Thomas will be healthy. And I think with Isaiah Thomas coming back, it might buy a little bit of patience, a little bit of patience with LeBron. Okay, hold on. So then after that, then I have to either make a move to keep LeBron or make a move to set myself up where, yeah, if LeBron leaves, then I set myself up with a future, and you end up being right because Kyrie Irving's a monster player and ends up with the Boston Celtics.
So what happens this year, Ken, if LeBron takes a page out of last year's book midseason after they start struggling, they go down a bad path where their defense is horrific again? I mean, Derrick Rose, Jose Calderon are your big additions at guard, and then a banged up Isaiah Thomas. What happens if all of that happens again like last year and LeBron says, instead of we're too top heavy, now we're not top heavy enough. We need another superstar. Do you have to buckle to that? Do you have to then trade that unprotected Brooklyn pick?
No, I can't. I absolutely can. And so
that helping LeBron stay?
No, but he has to respect that. Does he not have to respect that? I guess he doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do.
I don't know what he respects at this point. But I don't know what LeBron wants.
I think you absolutely have to respect that if you're LeBron, because you have to put yourself in a position where you're going to make this team not just better for this year, but better long term. So if LeBron stays, or LeBron is even thinking about staying, I have to go and be frank with him and say that I need to keep this pick to either help you stay or to help myself. I have to protect myself and then protect you as if you elect to stay. And also, with Isaiah Thomas coming back, and I'm not going to, this is unfair, but I'm going to do it, with the possibilities of Dwayne Wade coming to town, I don't know if that question even gets started. Because if you have Dwayne Wade, he's the only player that's ever played with LeBron, not for LeBron. I think it changes the entire perspective.
Yeah, I mean, D-Wade hasn't been in his prime in 4 years.
He hasn't been in his prime for 4 years. But again, I go back to the respect factor.
I don't know what you're expecting there. He can respect them all he wants, but if it doesn't help them become a better basketball team. So I guess my question would be at this point, this is a LeBron free agency year. Those are the dreaded words in all of sports. Okay. LeBron free agency year. A lot of people around the league think he is gone. They think it's a foregone conclusion. Kevin O'Connor adds, the Cavs have become a team that, as one source put it, you don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole given the way they've handled this situation. Okay, so there's all this negativity surrounding the basketball team that we love and we want LeBron to stay. I don't know how you sit there and not go all in this year for a championship. And you're telling me that, yeah, we're going to use this unprotected Brooklyn pick to fortify the future. I mean, don't you think that's the best way to try to convince LeBron to stay is to try to win a championship this year?
To why? To give it and to still not have that possibility? What am I going to have this year? What am I going to have this year that makes me that much better than Golden State? I'm sorry, I have to roll the dice. There's also Amon Shumpert that I could still move from. You know that there's a couple of teams interested, even though that's a tough decision to make or a tough contract to move. But I still have those possibilities where I take from the roster I have to add to the roster I have. I still think there's wiggle room. And the reason why I'm happy with this trade is you give yourself wiggle room. You give yourself wiggle room to keep LeBron. You give yourself wiggle room to guard against LeBron if you really want to. I have given myself options in breathing space where what I did not have before.
Wait a second. You said that. What if they would have just kept Kyrie? You did the whole sucks to be you, Kyrie. You could just let him go back to camp. Let him stew. He'll be on the team. They'll go to the finals. So wouldn't that have helped LeBron stay long-term too under your entire argument?
Why?
Because you have the 25-year-old superstar who's going to be here for two more years?
Yeah, but if it's an untenable situation, I can't do anything about that.
That's what I said from day one, and you disagreed with me. I said it was untenable and that they had to trade him, and you disagreed with me.
Because if I wasn't going to get a decent deal out of it, then yes, I was going to force it upon them. Now I have to look back at this and say that this is a good deal, and it makes my team better
for
the long
term. So now you agree with me they needed to trade Kyrie. Now you finally came to grips with the fact that I won that argument.
No, they didn't need to trade Kyrie. You can win whatever argument in your head that you think you want. But I didn't think they needed to trade Kyrie.
Okay, so now you're saying they should have kept Kyrie because a 25-year-old superstar would have helped keep LeBron.
No,
which
because
is it,
I'm certain that if they would have went down and went down with the ship together, that they certainly wouldn't be keeping themselves around. Now I have this opportunity to keep him around. We'll discuss this when we come back.
I don't think I understand that very well.
I say the Cavs won the trade. Lima says they lost the trade, but he says it's okay some way, somehow.
The trade has been finalized, and he only added sweetener to the deal, as it seemed like nobody really blinked on this. The added sweetener to the deal was a second round pick. Looks like, I believe, one from the Miami Heat that the Boston Celtics had in their possession. So now it's the Cavs, and the deal is done. Kyrie is gone. He's a Boston Celtic. We'll have Joe Varden talk about that at 8:20. He's from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. Also, we'll get back into football. Aditi Kikabwala, NFL Network. She's been embedded in Pittsburgh. We'll get her feelings on what's going on with Joe Haden to the Pittsburgh Steelers, as that was also finalized. Going to be very bizarre, obviously, on the opener when Joe Haden and the Steelers come to town. And, of course, It's going to be odd when the Boston Celtics come to Cleveland to launch the basketball season in earnest. And, boy, it's going to be weird. And Ken and I discussing who won the trade. I agree with David Griffin. I think the Cavs did very well with their haul. I still don't think you can ever say you won a trade when you lose the second-best player on your team, a budding superstar, 25-year-old, who also Kevin Durant just labeled on a Bill Simmons podcast, absolutely unguardable. No one's saying that about Isaiah Thomas. And in fact, you got to be honest, the Cavs doctors kind of tarnished the trade for you a little bit by allowing the news to get out that they were very, very nervous and have big-time anxieties about the future of his hip and whether or not he is closer to being the next Bo Jackson than he is the next Kyrie Irving.
So you believe the Boston Celtics won the pick again?
I do.
Again.
Okay. And I'm glad they won the trade. I'm glad they finished the trade. I'm glad we can move on with things. I think they had to trade him. I think Kyrie put you in an untenable situation. But no, I can't say that they won the trade. And well, I think they got a good haul, but they did not win the trade.
I'm hearing you out. I'm not going to try to tell you that Kyrie's not better than Isaiah. That'd be silly of me. However, I think that the Cavaliers won this trade because there's so many tentacles that play off to this where it doesn't look good, but the Cavaliers certainly won this trade where I have this option with Brooklyn's first pick. I get rid of Kyrie where I wish I could hold on to him. I wish this didn't come to this, obviously, but it has. But I've given myself options. So I made the best deal I can make for before it was garbage. So then I was willing to trade the guy. Then I have this pick. I can hold on to the pick. I can try to keep LeBron around, or I can hold on to the pick to try to rebuild and do a lot with that. I have the other second round pick in 2020, which will probably be moved as a sweetener for something else and another decision. There is the Amon Shumpert possibilities that are there. There is Dwayne Wade's there, but that's not in this trade, so I'm not going to use the Dwayne Wade possibility. Then you get back to Isaiah. And if Isaiah's there, I know you have questions about how much that he'll get paid, and there are those options about how big of a trade value he has. You might find him in a team that might be willing to part with a superstar. You might find him as a trade possibility. How salaries add up this year, how salary won't add up next year because he's going to be a free agent, how you could possibly move on from Isaiah Thomas and a team that's looking for a dump and something that you can get back to try to keep LeBron James. So if I have this option where I either keep a pretty good offensive point guard and hope that he's healthy, or I can take his contract, move on from his contract, and possibly bring in another big player, if I'm a better team come April and May than where I am right now, or even where I was last year. That's hard without Kyrie, I know that. But where I was last year, I still think I win this trade. And then, of course, there is the point where I have LeBron, I'm still a better team, and I'm still going to the NBA Finals over Boston.
Well, do you think they're going to be a better team in April and May if they don't trade that pick? Because I think the only way they're going to be a better team on paper is to trade that pick.
No. But I think that this gives them a long-term option where before they didn't. If you would have kept Kyrie, and I was willing to be nasty about this. You called me out on it. You were right. If you would have kept Kyrie, they would either found a way to play together and play away well, or they would have embarrassed themselves, and then things really would have blown up. Because then you can almost guarantee that so-and-so is going to leave and that Kyrie would probably have to be dealt with. So I can understand that. But I give myself options, where before I didn't have a lot of options.
So you and I are in agreement on one thing, that Isaiah Thomas was not the linchpin in this deal. It was that pick. It was Jay Crowder. It was all these assets that they're accruing, which they were, frankly, out of assets over the last few years because they were win at all costs right now, all in, all that.
Yeah.
But there are some people out there who do believe Isaiah Thomas was supposed to be a big part of this deal. In fact, I got it tweeted at me, Jamie Braddock going, how is Kyrie better? Both don't play defense. IT is a better passer, in my opinion. Then he put up the stats. And by the way, the stats are comparable. You could even argue that Isaiah Thomas's regular season stats are better than Kyrie because he averaged almost 29 a game last year and his PER was 3 points higher. And it was a huge season a year ago, and a year that I thought Isaiah Thomas deserved some MVP buzz because of what he did and putting that team on his back. But Ken, when people say that, I think they're a little delusional, and I think they need to take a step back and understand
that. I won't say that.
Isaiah Thomas is not Kyrie Irving.
I won't say that. He's the best finisher in the NBA. He's maybe one of the best finishers in history. And he's one of the best ball handlers that I think we've ever seen in NBA history. Kyrie is a great player. That's why they're giving you all these pieces for Kyrie Irving. Now, I think you could have even gotten more if Kyrie would have kept his mouth shut or LeBron would have kept his mouth shut either way. But you have to move on from that. This is quite simply the very best scenario. And if you play it well, the long game, which makes you right and me wrong here. If you play this well, you will have won this trade. You will have made your team a better team. But I cannot sit there and grit and be angry with you because, yeah, right now, Kyrie is a better player. You've put yourself in a much better position for the near future and even for the long future right now just because you don't know what's going on with LeBron James. If I find that out, there's so many things that can fall that could make this a very nice trade. It's still a good trade for Boston, but could make this a very nice trade and perhaps the winner, and I believe the winner, in this trade with the Cavaliers.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.